Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hello and welcome to the Dork Forest. I'm Jackie Kish and I'm your host. Let's do the credits. Mike Rickberg composed and sang that song you just heard. Patrick Brady's going to fix this audio. Vilmos fixes JackieCation.com. JackieCation.com and DorkForest.com have all the ways to listen to the show, support the show, look at my stand-up comedy, read too much about my life. So feel free to go to those places. Ways to support the show. You could, very basic one, doesn't cost you any money, the Amazon banner. If you order from Amazon, and most of us do, you can use the link on DorkForest.com or the banner under the support the show page to go to Amazon, order like normal, and the Dork Forest gets a kickback. So it doesn't cost you anything extra. There is also PayPal donation buttons on both dorkforest.com and jackiecation.com. Those are easy to use. You hit donate through PayPal. You don't have to join PayPal, but you just use a credit card, or if you're part of PayPal, you do whatever you want. If you don't like PayPal, you can also donate via Venmo. Venmo is a hipster new thing to donate. It's under Jackie Kation. If you can't figure out how to get to me on Venmo, email me, jackie@jackiecation.com. Good luck. Another way to support the show is to buy stuff. You can buy my CDs and my DVD at jackiecation.com, hard copies. Everything's available streaming. You can get my DVD over at Comedy Film Nerds. You can get my CDs on Amazon and iTunes, and you can just listen to them on Pandora and Spotify. I get a small kickback for that. But if you like a hard copy, you order them at jackiecation.com. You tell me whether you want it to be signed or not, and I mail it off as quick as possible, scheduling permitting. Should be pretty quick. And you can also get t-shirts there. I have a stand-up t-shirt, Spooky Reading Girl t-shirt. I also have two Dork Forest t-shirts, a green The Dork Forest t-shirt with the logo by Brett Chambers, and a black Ranger of the Dork Forest t-shirt by my nephew Salmon Beemel Benrood. And they're both good. And they're on union-made, American-made t-shirts, so they run a little big, but they're super resilient. Other than that, there are premium episodes of The Dork Forest. Some live episodes cost me some money, and so I make you guys pay money. Does that seem fair? They're only $2. They're over at Bandcamp. It's thedorkforest.bandcamp.com. There's a bunch of live episodes at different festivals in different venues around the country. There's probably a dozen of them. And then there's a storytelling album. If you have all my albums and you would like to hear some stories, there's, I believe, 4 or 5 stories on the storytelling album, and those are $1 a piece. So go get premium episodes if you're caught up, or if you like any of those guests. You could listen to clips over there as well. This week in stand-up comedy, you can always find my schedule on JackieCation.com. You can follow me on the internet, on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, at JackieCation. You can go to my fan page on Facebook, which is facebook.com/thedorkforest. There's also a Ranger page where you can talk to each other, and that's just called Dork Forest Rangers. And you just ask to join the group, and the moderator, or me, she gave me the power, I can just confirm you. We can find out if sometimes there's bots who just post sexy lady pictures of people from Star Wars and Marvel, and then I delete and block those people. But I just approve everybody. I don't know what the moderator lady does, but I just approve everybody and then delete and block if they're bad guys. So this week in stand-up comedy, Bloomington, Indiana, The Comedy Attic, one of the best clubs in the country. So if you are in Indiana, I hope you're affecting change at a grassroots level, first of all. And second of all, come to Bloomington and watch me do stand-up. But this is a great episode, so let's get into it. Hello and welcome. This is sort of a dork expedition because we're outdoors. Brian Cook, I'm in your patio.
You are. Welcome.
It's Brian Cook, you guys. It's at Brian Cooking. Brian is with a Y. Mm. Cooking is spelled like cooking because it's a joke. Brian Cooking, right?
It's a joke that's almost a joke.
It's barely, so close.
Barely a play on words, but it does get me followed by every cooking blog on Twitter.
Oh, there you go. There's some bot work going on.
There's some bot work going on.
Excellent.
For sure.
And so, but we are in your backyard. We might hear dogs.
Yes, we will hear dogs.
There is wind because we live in a windy time.
It's the Santa Anas.
Something's happening, you guys. It's never lasted quite this long with the wind.
Yeah, it's been wicked.
It's been gale-like. Whatever. But the reason I came over, otherwise I would have made you come to me.
Yes.
Is you went to four different chicken places in your neighborhood.
Yes.
And I love chicken. And you're like, chicken is also my downfall.
Yeah.
So we're talking chicken.
We're talking chicken. Now, originally I tried to con you into literally going to five chicken restaurants.
Right.
You're smarter than me.
Right. And I'll tell you something. Dork Expeditions are notoriously even louder than this.
Yeah, sure.
And harder to listen to.
Sure.
So I think if I had fancy labs, by the way, the PayPal button's right on the website, you guys.
Buy some labs.
Yeah, they're $600 a pop, I'm told.
I got some cheap ones you can have.
Are they wireless?
They don't work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I have some wired labs, but then we're standing next to each other. It's like we're handcuffed running away from the police.
Oh, they're wireless. They're just garbage. I bought cheap ones a million years ago to try to use for a live show, and it's not worth it.
Right. You have to spend some money to get decent labs if you're going to do wireless labs.
Look, we could talk about microphones for a whole other podcast.
Exactly. Brian Cook, by the way, is the founder and creator of the Competitive Erotic Fan Fiction
podcast. Thank you for getting the name right.
And that's because it's hilarious to me Dork Forest, we've had some fan fiction episodes.
Oh, have you?
Yes.
Okay. Anyone I know?
No. No, okay. No, just random people who love to write some fanfic.
But they're sincere about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I know at least several people who have writing jobs now, of their writing exercises was to write fanfiction.
Sure.
And I didn't know anything about fanfiction.
Yeah.
And then, like most people, until 50 Shades of Grey. Okay. I knew way before that, but then 50 Shades of Grey created some
that
sort
made
of
it a household.
A household terrible name.
Right.
And
50 a household terrible name.
Terrible name. I guess what I'm saying is 50 Shades of Grey was not for me.
Right.
It was a lot of hitting. It felt like more hitting than I wanted any part of.
I've not seen or read it.
Me neither,
I'm aware
actually.
Of its existence, and I know how it came to be, and I'm disappointed by the whole thing.
It seems pushy. It seems super pushy. Sex. I don't want sex to be super pushy, it turns out.
Sure.
I like everyone to have a good time.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I've threatened to write 50 Shades of Grey erotic fan fiction, which would just be the book Twilight.
Oh, my God.
Because then you're just doubling down, and it cancels itself out at that point.
Right. And the thing is I like, you know, sort of what can be lumped into sort of crap novels, you know? Is there a werewolf and a vampire and somebody's got a bustle and there's a dirigible in the sky? I'm in. You got an old-timey typewriter? It's a lot. Why not?
I want you to do your next erotic fan fiction on an old-timey typewriter.
Oh, tap it, tap, tap, tap. Yeah. It's, we could, I, that's how I learned, that's how I learned to type was on an old-timey typewriter.
Yeah, I started on one of those.
Sure, why not? And then they went electric. And, because it was a manual typewriter.
Well, it's a sexier thing to write on, for sure.
For sure.
More romantic, at the very least.
But really irritating because of autocorrect.
Yep.
Because I need autocorrect most of the time. And a suggested comma, I'm all for that as well.
Mm, absolutely.
Because I use commas like breath marks. Anyway. The
flies are threatening to carry away our chicken, Jackie.
Exactly. We have eaten. You will be happy to know that we will not be eating at you.
I was glad you said it because I was definitely like, are we going to sit here and munch into the? Because I've heard a few of those podcasts,
and it's kind of brutal.
It's brutal. Shout out to the Boogie Monster.
Is that a?
Oh, that's Kyle Canadian Dave Stone just burping into mics for an hour. Just
that is hilarious.
Drinking Budweisers and eating and talking.
Oh, that is hilarious.
Just two sloppy dudes slapping their chops.
Yep. There's a very famous episode with Matt Knutson, famous to Rangers, where we all sit around and eat a shrimp ring that he brought.
I love it.
I did a short-lived joke that never stuck it out about a shrimp ring. Mm. And he thought it was so funny he brought a shrimp ring to the house.
You know what's funny is that, we were talking about this earlier, he has a podcast called Getting Lunch with Matt Knutson.
Yes, which has got to be all eating.
And it is, like, there's no avoiding it. You're sitting around a table eating. But it's not even interview style. It really is just like you're chit-chatting about bullshit. And when I did his podcast, we went to a Sizzler.
Yeah.
And I misquoted one of his bits back to him, but under the guise of like, oh, this is not even guys. In my head, I'm just like, oh man, there's this guy that has this hilarious joke.
Oh, that's awesome.
About eating at a Sizzler where I'm going to misquote it now, but it's basically like, pile of cottage cheese,
yep.
Taco shell full of ham cubes, which is so beautiful and perfect. And he's like, yeah, Brian, that's my bit.
I'm glad that you like it.
It's, yeah.
And I'm glad you've tightened it up for me. Well played. Well played. Yeah.
It could have been worse. It could have been like, there's some bullshit hack who
right.
has this Sizzler joke.
This is the worst. Somebody's still talking about Sizzler, Matt Knutson. Can you believe it? yeah, too funny. Okay, so let's get into it. First of all,
Sizzler today.
Have you always enjoyed chicken?
I've lived in LA about 4.5 years, all in this apartment, and since I've lived here, I've probably eaten more chicken than I did in my entire life leading up to that.
Yeah,
because when you got here, and I was like, oh, whoops, I forgot to get the Mexican grilled chicken.
Yeah.
Remember how I was back in like 5 minutes?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It's, if you know the Virgil, mm-hmm. which I'm sure a lot of your listeners do.
Sure,
there's
Virgil
a chicken
theater.
Shack across the street called El Unico or Pollo.
Oh,
Unico.
Is that where the Mexican chicken was from?
Yeah, right there.
Oh, it's great,
and it is. I'm addicted to it.
The Virgil has that taco truck right by it.
Virgil's got a very good taco truck.
Which is a nice taco truck.
Yep.
But now this chicken place may, because that Mexican chicken was excellent.
Yeah.
And there's a Mexican chicken place right by my 5 minutes mm-hmm. walk from my house called I Papa K Rico. And get this, it was a check cashing place.
What?
Yeah. But they, it had been like rich people had bought their college kids that place and coded it for food, and they wanted to make a hipster coffee shop in Van Nuys. Internalize that. And guess what didn't take?
Didn't work.
No, it didn't work. Huh. And then they had some sort of artisanal ice cream going on as well.
Sure, sure, sure.
It was completely doomed from the get-go.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. And so Papa bought it, and and it was a check cashing place.
Uh-huh.
One of three right there at that corner. So pretty much not needed. But... He put a grill on the side of it because he had a food license.
Oh, I'm sorry. So this was a concurrent business with the check cashing.
Yeah.
That's
until
amazing.
The check cashing completely went away because his chicken is amazing. He's got this grill. He now owns like, I hope he's buying the buildings.
Okay.
Because it's like, it's not a strip mall because it's on Van Nuys Boulevard,
mm-hmm.
but it's on the corner. And there's like a weird little fenced in area, which has too much foliage.
Okay.
It's not
like
fun
overgrown?
To eat in it. Well, it's not. I think he's trying to protect it from the sound of Van Nuys Boulevard.
Oh, I see.
But get it to go.
Yeah.
And so right. he rented and it's turned into a bakery. Like he's got and like a steam table food of Central American and
wow.
El Salvadoran food.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. It's all grilled. And that's what this was. This is grilled.
Similar
right?
style. Yeah, yeah. So this is done over charcoal. They just have those like barrel fires out front.
Yeah.
All day long and just knock out whole chicken. $15, whole chicken, stack of handmade tortillas, beans and rice, which we didn't even dig into because we were really focused on the goal today.
Yeah. Well, we had to go chicken on this one.
Yeah.
But it had the good grilled flavor.
Yeah. It's dynamite.
Let's jump to the chili lime.
All right. Chili lime wings.
Chili lime wings.
Chili lime wings were when I texted you last night that there was going to be bonus chicken.
Yeah.
Now, initially, when I was thinking about chicken, I like to categorize things too much because I have a lot of free time.
Sure.
I thought, like, well, I think wings are a different category. We need to stick to just big chicken.
Full chickens.
Full chickens.
Okay. You didn't want to weed off into wings?
I didn't initially.
Okay.
But I was kind of making up I'm like, okay, well, you got your Mexican grilled chicken, which was the impetus for this because I live across the street. And there's another one a block away at Vermont and Santa Monica that's equally good.
Right.
That one, they got black beans. I like black
beans. Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love
black
beans.
Switch to where the sun isn't, by all means.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just going to rotate as you tell the story.
But then I got to thinking about once we were like, well, we're going to do it on the patio. I'm like, well, I got to cook. If you're coming over, I got to make something. And wings are the only chicken that I ever make.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I used to do whole chickens until I moved in across from this damn place.
Oh, now
and
why bother?
And for $15, like, I'm just going to walk across the street. I'm not making anything better than that.
Right.
The only, like, exception would be if I was really feeling like a French style, like rosemary and garlic.
Oh, okay.
Roast chicken I might do, but it's been forever since I've done that. So wings are the only thing that I make, so then I decided to make an exception for wings.
Yeah. So then you were like, go to chili lime?
Well, okay, so yeah, I just reverse segued. What's the opposite of a segue? Mm. So I made smoked wings because that's the only kind of chicken that I ever make, which is super easy and short. It's a short smoking time.
It's an easy task.
Yeah, it's like an hour and a half on the smoker.
Is it?
It's nothing.
Okay.
Compared to if
you're, like a pulled pork.
Yeah, you got 14 hours and you got to stay up all night.
Oh, right, because you got to move it or something.
Yeah, I don't have the patience for that.
Yeah.
So these, you know, it's like dozen wings. Throw them on your smoker. Hour and a half later, they're good. And then I flash fry them.
And you said you put paprika and salt.
Yeah,
pepper
salt,
on
pepper,
it?
Paprika. That's it. That's
and that's
all
it.
I do. Yeah,
because those are tasty too.
Yeah.
So what we've talked now, Mexican wing, the chicken wing.
So once
that you
I
made,
opened up the door to wings in my head, Jackie's notes are blowing everywhere. Yeah. These Santa Anas.
Yeah. But you're gonna get it?
Yep.
All right.
Absolutely.
Be able to write down time code. Anyway.
Yeah, so you can cut out that part where we had to stop to pick up the notes. Once I opened the door to wings, then last night I happened to be up the street having drinks at a place called Jay's Bar, which if you live in the eastern part of Los Angeles, you should know is a fantastic establishment.
Right. It's a good bar, but it
good
also
bar,
has a good wing.
Great food in general.
Okay.
Serves late. Yeah, midnight, 1 a.m.
Oh, it's weird about L.A. not being open as late as it ought to be.
Yeah. I think it's gotten better.
Okay.
But, yes, I think that's an apt reputation for the city for the most part.
Yeah, which is weird.
But they do a wing that's a chili lime, like, dry rub.
Yeah.
And so I got those last night, and then I just refried them, which lost a little bit of the chili lime flavor. But still.
Right, so then you were like, try a cold one.
Yeah.
So I did. I tried. I've eaten a lot of chicken prior to this this taping. And chicken's one of my trigger foods. I could eat all of the chicken in front of me probably over the next hour and a half. We could just sit around and just eat our way through
chicken. We've done a pretty good number so far.
Yeah, we've already made a pretty good dent in the chicken.
Yeah.
So, but it's a dry rub, so probably just like a powdered chili.
Yeah.
And then
the lime is the part I don't understand. It's either.
Is it dried lime?
It could be a dehydrated lime peel situation, or it could be that they just. Because they probably put it on as like a paste, I'm guessing.
And then it came with limes, didn't it?
Yeah, and then there's limes on the side, too.
Right, which is. That's what iPapa has. It has. I had never had lime with chicken until I moved here.
Yeah.
And it is a Mexican, South American, Central American thing.
Yeah.
Good work.
Yep.
Nice work, folk.
Well done.
Well played.
That's the reason, like I said, that I eat as much chicken as I do now, but I didn't know
that it
that
could
was
be prepared.
A style of chicken until I moved. I mean, you're from the Midwest. I'm from Maine.
Yeah.
Not a ton of Latino population in either of those places.
No, so there was, there is now, but there Milwaukee is a great sort of Mexican area, and Minneapolis is a great Mexican neighborhood. But it's weird because the chicken that I had growing up that I still make to this day, because I only make whole chicken.
Yeah.
And because I have an unsubstantiated belief that to buy a whole chicken is healthier than to buy parts of a chicken.
Okay.
Because then they have cut it up and it's sat in plastic wrap for a while.
Sure.
So I'm just like, well, just give me a chicken. And I'll figure it out once I get home.
I mean, even if your logic is incorrect, it's still correct. Because you're paying less.
Yep.
You got to pay a butcher to cut that thing up. So you're paying more for your chicken parts.
Right. Oh, yeah. If I just, like, I did just get thighs the other day, and it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And
I get why chicken wings are too expensive in restaurants, because buying a dozen wings was $10.
Right.
Just
that's a lot.
Raw chicken.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
So... And then I brought chicken. Let's go to the next.
Well, what do you, when you say you cook it one way, what's that?
Oh, I don't cook it one way. The first way is Nancy Kation's Chicken of the Gods. It was the best thing that she could make. It is the easiest chicken in the world to make because Nancy Kation did not want to cook. she didn't enjoy it.
Okay.
But she could knock out a chicken and we were beside ourselves because she made really good chicken.
It is
literally salt, pepper, garlic.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want to, you can put like a tiny dab of butter on each of the parts.
Okay.
And then you bake it at, 375 to 4 1/4, depending on how crispy you like the skin.
Sure.
For like 45 minutes.
Sure.
To an hour.
Yeah.
And, then you eat it, all of it.
Yeah.
And, I'm working on a chicken calendar.
A chicken calendar?
Yeah, a calendar
like
of chicken recipes.
Like a chicken advent calendar?
Yes, an advent. Open it up. Box! Cock-a-doodle-doo. An advent calendar, open it up. That'd be so funny.
It's a cuckoo I'm writing clock that down. Mixed it, with an advent calendar.
Oh, my
and
God.
And we are going on Shark Tank this week.
Yes, please. The chicken advent calendar.
What's your chicken calendar?
The chicken calendar will be 12 different chicken recipes.
Okay.
And then a bonus, I have a, there's a pork roast that I enjoy a great deal.
For leap years.
Right. Well, because when I first moved in with one Andy Ashcraft, I was like, hey, I make chicken a lot. Do you like chicken? And he said, if you're cooking, that's a win for
sure.
me.
Sure. I mean,
I don't care.
No one in this world gets to complain about someone else making too much.
3 years into it, he goes, what do you think about a different kind of meat? So I was, his favorite meat is pork.
Okay.
So I've gotten better. People forget about pork chops. So I'll make a pork chop.
Most people fuck up pork chops.
Oh,
I think that's why people.
No, that's true. Nancy Kashian used to fuck up. It was a pocky puck.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, how can you make a dry pork chop? What are you doing to
it? I think there's a lot of kind of endemic problems in that people thought pork was going to kill you if you undercooked it.
Oh.
And in reality, no one's died of trichinosis since the 70s.
Okay.
That's not as like you can eat medium rare pork unless it's.
Right.
Garbage meat from a market
you don't trust. Going to the if you're going to the handy market over in Burbank, which I do sometimes.
Handy market.
I ran into Jay Leto there one time.
Oh.
But the meat is super cheap.
Yep.
And one time I made the mistake of going, so where do you get the chicken? And the guy was like, what do you want?
And who are you asking for?
Right. And because it's in a very sort of old Burbank neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, there's no way these old rich Hollywood types who live in Burbank, right? Are eating non-organic chicken.
Mm.
Turns out they are.
Yeah.
They are, because it's a nickel. It's I think it's like $1.25 a pound for chicken, which is super cheap.
Yeah, you should pay more.
And I think. And but pork chops, I usually broil pork chops.
Okay.
I just do salt, pepper, in a broiler, like 11 minutes. 11 to 15 on one side and then like a little bit less on the other side.
Yeah.
Just so there is no pink, but you have to watch it.
Yeah.
Because it will dry out pretty quick, I guess.
Do you do the thick?
Yeah, I only get the thick ones now.
You have to.
They're easier to cook too. They're easier to keep them real.
It's so much harder. Yeah. So much harder to overcook the damn things.
Yeah.
For the first time, I went up to, have you ever been to, that high-end market butcher shop on, Vermont or Hillhurst? Los Feliz. It's McCall's Butcher Shop.
Oh, nice.
And it's, if
I might go there on the way home.
It's worth checking out, but you're going to spend a little cash.
Sure.
If you want to get like a dry-aged ribeye or something, that's the place to go.
So if you want to buy a prime rib or something?
Yeah, I'm sure they do that.
I've never understood what that is.
Prime rib?
It's a cut. But then something has to happen to it.
Yep. <It's laughs>
to make
roast.
It a prime rib.
It's just a roast.
Is it just a roast?
Yeah.
Bastard.
It's just a bone-in. If you have any butcher nerds that can correct me,
sure.
You're welcome to.
JackieJackieCation.com.
That it's just the ribs and it's what we would call a ribeye steak.
Okay.
It's just all of it. It's the whole damn thing.
It's the giant pile of meat on top of it, and then it has a pretty good layer of fat.
Yes.
Which will good marbleization.
Yes.
And
you could slice that up into individual ribeye steaks.
Okay.
But it's the whole damn thing.
Okay.
That's
what that is.
Rib.
Yeah. Okay.
So it stays rarer and juicier on the inside.
Right.
Because it's thick and huge.
Yeah. So.
But that place is great, and I finally was like, well, I'm going to see what, two $15 pork chops taste like.
Okay.
And fuck.
They taste amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It reminds me of Soylent Green. Remember when that guy comes in with the steak?
I'm in.
There's a scene where Charlton Heston comes in for his dad and he has gotten a steak for his dad and there's no meat anywhere. Everyone's just eating Soylent.
Okay.
And different colored soy, supposedly.
Right.
And so he comes in with this beef steak and his dad kind of loses his mind because he's like, I haven't had a steak since the 70s. And because it was made in 72 and they thought by the 80s we would all be dead.
Sure.
And the dystopian future is now.
I mean, it's upon us, but back then it was a clean notion.
But as my father has always said, he's like, it's just going to be like now. Your car's going to be 5 years old and you're going to be looking for work. Why don't you calm down? Just keep going.
Yeah.
Just keep plugging.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, white guy in the Midwest.
Right, exactly. And I... Exactly. And, Yeah. Okay. So we got your Mexican. We got
Where'd
your
we go?
Homemade. We got chili lime. What about hot chicken?
Okay. So then, yeah, we did again.
That's the fried chicken place.
Fried chicken. It's like
they don't open at 11 a.m. on a Saturday.
Nope. It's a bar called Crawford's, which is on Benton and Beverly. So it's kind of between Los Feliz or between Echo Park and Silver Lake.
Okay.
It's just a little dive bar that. I think it had been there for years, and then this dude bought it. Oh, and I got his name. It's an ex-comic named Matt Dittman.
Oh.
Do you know Matt?
I know that name.
Okay, so he quit comedy and opened a chicken shack.
And a fried chicken shack.
Yes.
At that.
Literally all they make is fried chicken. You can get hot or regular, and the hot is not very hot.
Right.
And a handful of sides, which we didn't even dip into. This
right,
mac
but it's tasty,
here.
Though, or?
Good so mac and cheese.
What is he doing with the... Is it like a buttermilk? Is it like a wet, dry, wet, or whatever, or a dry, wet, dry?
I think so, but I don't know. Like, hot chicken is another mysterious thing to me that I've only started eating. That place went in, and I think my theory, and I'm sure anyone could look this up and prove me right or wrong.
Yes,
is that it's basically fried chicken, and then it's dipped in something else,
like a spice.
Yeah, but it's not like. We got it. So I got it last night. We're eating it cold because cold fried chicken is
nothing
fantastic.
Wrong with cold chicken.
But even when it comes out, it's not like dripping. It's not like they just dipped it in barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
It's like a tackier. I don't completely understand it. I think it might be like a lard or butter based sauce. Almost.
Oh, it's
like,
more of like this consistency kind of thing, like a sour cream consistency, maybe.
No, I think it's almost maybe more like buffalo sauce.
Okay.
But thicker.
Okay.
Because it's not as gooey as buffalo wings. I don't completely understand it. It's somewhere between a dry rub and a sauce.
You know, I will admit to it right now that Hooters makes an excellent chicken wing.
I've heard that. I don't know that I've ever actually eaten. I think I've been to one Hooters.
I get them to go. I get them to go. Sure. Yeah. I want to support everybody who wants to do whatever they want to do.
Sure.
But I don't. And there used to be Knuckleheads in the Mall of America was a comedy club. And right next to it was a Hooters.
Okay.
And why wouldn't there be a Knuckleheads next to a Hooters? And so, but the Hooters had a dry rub.
Okay.
They do a wet wing and they do a dry ring.
Okay.
Wing. And I like a dry better myself.
Me too.
Just because it's already a mess.
Yeah.
And
I've never been a big barbecue sauce fan. Like, I'm not a Kansas City or whatever.
Yeah, I like barbecue, but if it's on a sandwich, I think.
Okay.
Because it feels less of a mess.
Okay.
Though I do kind of like rib ends.
I love rib ends.
The tiny
the
rib.
Burnt ends. Yeah. Big fan.
Tell people about this stuff.
Ooh, Crystal.
This is a Sean Patton
this
find,
is,
right?
Shout out to Sean Patton. Well, I mean, he's just from New Orleans.
And so he knew about that, this
when,
hot sauce,
yeah,
which
when
I've
you
never
go down
of.
There, it's Crystal is readily
Can
available.
Can you get it?
Yeah, they have it at, like, Vaughn's and stuff.
Oh, good.
But it's if you think about the Tabasco as your starting point, everyone knows Tabasco.
Yep.
It's a less vinegary, less spicy, more flavor.
It's got a little more depth than Tabasco.
Yeah.
I don't mind. I like Tabasco.
It's fine.
Yeah.
But it's also, if you look at it, look at the ingredients on that.
This is called Louisiana's Pure Crystal Hot Sauce. And
that is apparently the real deal Cajun stuff.
This is it. This is, it doesn't have a percentage of aged red cayenne peppers. Wow. Distilled vinegar and salt. And that's it.
It's crazy.
Well, good for them.
Yeah. They're doing something right.
Yeah.
The Crystal people.
Shake well before. It's tasty. And so it was really good for some of these pieces of chicken. And then I went to Zanku. Which has the garlic sauce.
Yes.
Zanku. Yeah. And it is.
I mean, if you live here, you have access to it. You probably already know about it.
Right. Because there's a dozen of them.
Yeah. It's a Middle Eastern of some kind.
It's Armenian.
Sure. Armenian?
It's actually
that
Armenian.
Makes sense. It's in Little Armenia.
It's the only place. That's the first one, in Little Armenia. They have a framed, the Armenian alphabet framed,
gotcha.
Which is weird.
Gotcha.
But, it's just really good rotisserie chicken.
Rotisserie chicken, garlic sauce, out of this world.
Yeah. It is garlic and butter that's been whipped.
Oh, it's amazing.
As far as I could tell.
Yeah.
For a short time, they were, when they expanded, when they opened up two or three in a row, they tried to put the garlic sauce in a factory.
Oh, really?
And prepackage it.
Yeah.
And it didn't last. It didn't,
that doesn't surprise
last
me.
As well. So it didn't taste the same. And so there was an outcry. And, what I like about, chicken is that it brings everybody together.
Or tears us apart.
Zangku, though, you'll go in, you'll see, you know, plenty of Armenians,
mm-hmm.
but you'll also see like Asian people and black people and white people. Everyone loves chicken.
Yeah.
And by the way, everyone should get to love chicken. I have black friends who are like, I can't eat chicken in public. I'm so sorry.
Oh,
and I'm
what?
And they said, you don't understand.
Sure.
And I said, I do not understand, but I have a suspicion what is happening to you.
Right.
And I disapprove with the power of the sun. Because that and watermelon.
Right.
Who doesn't fucking like watermelon?
Yeah, literally everyone.
I've met like one or two people, but it's like not liking, I don't know, like you don't like cream cheese.
Right.
It's a weird. I don't particularly like cream cheese, but. Okay. But there's, I mean, it's a thing that almost everyone likes.
Well, and everyone has watermelons grows regionally, but everyone likes it. But chickens, like, literally every culture
has made a chicken thing.
It's
which is
bananas.
What the calendar is going to be. It's going to be chickens of the world.
I like it.
And so what I've done, though, is I have 11 recipes.
Okay.
And it feels like, it feels like, what's the artist's way? It feels like the artist's way for me.
Okay.
I never did the 12th chapter.
Sure.
I don't want to finish it.
For you to finish.
Yes.
The viewer. That's amazing.
I couldn't.
Just a blank page in the back.
I don't want to finish the chicken calendar because I don't want to finish the chicken possibilities. Maybe. Maybe that's it.
If we're going to bring up Zangu on a comedy podcast, I mean, we have to go into the dark history of Zangu.
What is
it? Which I would assume. Are you not aware of this? Murder chicken?
Oh.
Zangu, a.k.a. murder chicken?
No.
Oh.
I am unfamiliar with the murder chicken.
Oh, Jackie. Your ratings are going to go through the roof because it turns out all you have to do now to be a successful podcaster is talk about murder.
And then there was murder. You guys.
The guy who founded Zangu, and this is, you can look this up on their Wikipedia.
Yes.
The guy who founded Zangu chicken came down with terminal cancer.
Okay.
And decided he didn't want anyone to ruin his legacy
of chicken.
So he fucking murdered his family.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Joke's on him.
Cause, he had cousins. What happened, man?
I don't remember. I believe
like he might not have gotten everybody.
His wife and two heirs or something, like immediate family wiped out, offed himself.
Wow.
Yes. And who, but you know, somebody was still the next,
it should
in
be
line.
Called Dirtbag Chicken. That's crazy,
Bill. Yeah. Isn't that nuts?
That is nuts.
Shout out to Rob Delaney. I first heard that story from him.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Rob Delaney knows things.
Yep. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
And now it's like a successful chain of restaurants that's just spitting on his grave.
Just exactly. And I hope they dance every quarter when everybody gets a check. Because you're like, how could you?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want? I mean, I get it. No, I don't.
I mean, maybe it was a brain tumor. Maybe he was going crazy. Maybe it wasn't cancer. It could be that it was like something that
maybe
ate
you
away
went mad.
His sanity. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, crazy from the syphilis like Scott Joplin.
Oh, right. Scott Joplin?
Yeah.
The guy who did that song from that, you know, that song. Musician guy?
Ragtime pianist.
Well, why don't I go with that?
Died of syphilis after going crazy.
All right. But I like a Scott Joplin
reference.
It's brings me back to my junior high band days.
Well, my fucking music degree has to get me something in this world.
Oh, my God. Where did you go to college?
University of Maine.
All right.
Yeah. It's a big state school.
Big state school? Was it
decent
in?
Decent music department.
Portland?
No, there is one. University of Southern Maine is in Portland, but this is in Orono, Maine.
Orono.
Which if you do
what's the big city in Maine?
Portland.
It is Portland.
But it's like, I mean, when I was still living there, it was like less than 100,000 people.
Yeah, yeah. Big is relative.
Yeah, it's probably more than that now.
I'll say this. I went to a wedding in Maine.
Okay.
Probably 5 or 6 years ago. Everything happened 5 or 6 years ago now. and Waze almost dumped us into a lake.
Oh, okay.
Waze didn't have the maps down for Maine.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
I'm amazed that there was even an option of using Waze in Maine 5 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe
where
it was only
you?
3 years ago. It was outside of Portland in the woods.
Oh, okay.
It was in the woods somewhere.
Okay.
And because Chris Winslow's dad owns a dairy farm. And
Chris Winslow.
Well, he's... I don't know why I said his full name. He might be listening. Hey, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
How's it going, man? What was interesting, though, is that it was a farm, like a real farm. And it was, you know, I was walking around the farm with his dad, and I said, so have you always lived here? And he goes, no, the house was built here in, I think, the middle 1800s. We used to live down the hill in the late, I think, middle 1600s. And I was like, no, that wasn't. I meant, were you born in Maine?
the medieval family history.
Right. I take it your family came over on one of those early boats.
One of those boats.
Yeah, one of those early tiny boats made up.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was classic.
That dude's like the founder of Maine.
Yeah, it was one of the founders of Maine.
Is this guy a comic that you're talking about?
No. Oh, he's I think he works at a bank.
Oh.
But he's a friend of Andy's from college.
Gotcha.
All Andy's friends are, they're either scientists mm-hmm. or IT guys.
Yeah.
And nerds.
Yeah.
Successful
nerds.
Nobody ages better than nerds, quite honestly.
Okay.
It's kind of nice. They figure out their social skill issues.
That's good.
And
they have money.
And right, and they
sometimes
and they usually have are successfully keeping it together, and yeah, it's
and they're
great.
Happy to have you.
They're happy to be around.
Yeah,
they're wearing the button that
they
says
like
yes, I want to be a friend. And okay, so we did that. We've done them all.
We went through all the chickens.
But the chicken that you and we're at 31, which is good.
Okay,
because I want to ask about like what are different rubs that you would because you have a smoker.
Yep.
And you have one of the fanciest side-by-side grills going on over here,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, this is
all of your money, essentially. You've decided to invest.
Yeah, we could have done this podcast just about my patio.
I thought for a second you had a fry-a-later.
Right.
So.
No, there's an external burner that I can use to deep fry, which then you don't smell your whole house up. Because if I do wings, I shallow fry them before, like for like 30 seconds before.
Oh, before
serving.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, yeah.
It crisps
yes, you
up
did.
The outside of them.
Talk amongst yourselves. I'm going to eat a piece of chicken.
Go for it, by all means. This is my neighbor, Allie, ladies and gentlemen. Say hi to Allie.
Welcome to the show.
What's up?
Come on in. No, never
mind. It's not live. I didn't realize you were doing things. Sure. Come on in.
Would you
this
like
is
to dork
Jackie.
Up?
Hello, buddy.
That's Malta. This is my neighbor, Allie, who's a regular at my stand-up show across the street at the Virgil every Thursday. What a time to plug. At Thursday nights, Big Money, Jackie Cation, regular performer. You were the first comic I ever booked on that show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You were one of the first comics I ever saw on that show. Oh, my gosh. Actually.
Look at that.
And it was fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's
See, my patio is so sweet that my neighbor is here to make sure that she buys the exact same, we call these cafe lights.
Okay.
All
so
weather.
That they kind of
product.
Match.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Allie walks by as my neighborhood vegetarian walks by and sees me cooking all sorts of things she can't eat.
Oh, and a vegan.
I've watched you take down enough cheese to not allow that to be said into a microphone.
Brian's neighbor is an aspiring vegan.
Aspiring vegan.
Like,
Well, that's a good segue into your question about dry rubs.
Exactly.
Because I have two basic ones that I mess with. One is a pretty standard barbecue that I wouldn't claim is the same every time. But it's a mishmash of smoked paprika, regular paprika, salt and pepper, garlic powder, onion powder, cumin. If I'm doing pork, I'll use a little brown sugar usually if it's going on ribs. Not much because I don't like a sweet barbecue.
Me neither. Some people really do.
Yeah, I mean, all that stuff.
I don't like fruit
sauces.
With meat either.
I do in certain circumstances. I have a weird recipe that's – it's an Alton Brown Italian pot roast recipe mm-hmm. that calls for raisins.
In a pot roast?
In a pot roast. But it's a tomato sauce, so it kind of works.
Okay.
So it's basically like a can of crushed tomatoes, olives, which mm-hmm. offset the sweetness.
Right.
And you got the acid from the tomatoes, and then raisins, onions, garlic – it's pretty much it. Red wine. And it really works.
Hmm.
But yeah, for the most part, I'm with you. I've had some like Jamaican recipes that have like chicken and there's like stewed fruit with it that works.
I've done a Moroccan thing with apricots.
Yeah,
that
sure.
are sometimes okay.
Like a couscous or something?
Yeah, like an apricot couscous.
I'm into that.
I do a Moroccan chicken. I like to do a marinade.
Okay.
A chicken marinade.
Okay, see, I never get into marinades.
Well, all it means is that you take your dry rub and you add a
you
tablespoon of oil.
Sure.
Yes.
Right.
And then you overnight.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things is when a recipe takes a long time.
Okay.
Which is a classic sign that I don't have a day job anymore. And
sure.
Because it is okay. So like one of my and I do a variation on this. What came to me as like a Moroccan chicken recipe.
Mm-hmm.
I do a variation on this because cumin and coriander together do a great job on chicken.
Okay.
And I buy the seeds and I mortar and pestle.
Oh,
right?
Ooh, look at you.
Sure.
See, I finally had to break down and do the designated spice grinder because my coffee was tasting a lot like cumin. That's not what you want.
Puny cumin. That's what Andy Ashcraft says every time I pull out the cumin. He's like, are you using that puny cumin? And I was like, keep writing. And,
keep writing. We're going to punch that up, Andy.
But it makes me laugh against my will.
Sure.
Every 30th time.
That's the best case scenario.
Exactly. And that's what he's looking for. And so the Moroccan thing, it can be like cumin and coriander. And then I use fresh garlic. And then, but the new one I've got, I wonder where my phone is. It was a Burmese stir fry recipe that I got out of the Week. And
The Week
is essentially it's an idiot news magazine. It's news from across the world.
Okay, but idiots of every green color.
It could be both sides, supposedly.
All right.
There's really just the one side left, but it's both sides, and then it has like fluff, like it has a food page and a little things Oprah would buy page or whatever. It's not called that, but it should be called that.
Right, along those lines.
Yeah. And
stuff we were paid to love this week.
Yes. And a $600 scarf. It's amazing.
Sure.
You wouldn't believe.
Life changer.
I bet.
Yeah.
sure. And, but the.
From the superfluous LA scarf collection.
Exactly. All right. So what I'm going to do though is I'm going to find.
You're pulling it
this,
up.
Yeah, I'm going to blow this up because here I've been working on this and I turned it into a marinade because it's supposed to be a stir fry.
Okay.
And you're just supposed to use, I think, thighs, but I always do a full chicken.
Okay.
It's already been revealed.
See, I'm trying to talk Jay's into doing this chili lime rub on whole chickens. That's my goal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That'd be just wings. I don't mind wings.
I love a wing.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorites.
But there's no sense of finite. Quite honestly. I literally could eat a dozen wings.
Sure.
And you're like, that isn't.
That's not what a person's
supposed
to
do. That's not lunch. Don't do that.
Right.
Right. Get a life.
Yeah.
So,
been there.
Yeah. So it's supposed to be also, let us discuss, because the first thing written on there, boneless, skinless.
Fuck off. Fuck right.
Amen.
Off. No goddamn way am I going to waste my time cooking boneless, skinless chicken.
Ever.
The only time, the one exception I'm going to make is if I'm planning to make salads.
Right.
Boneless breast.
Out. Boneless,
cold,
skinless
the next
breast.
Day.
I get what you're doing.
Yep.
But you think you're making a hockey puck is what you're making.
Yes.
That's why you have to marinate it
and
slather it in mayonnaise because you're out of your mind.
Right.
If you keep
all the flavor,
bone
all the
in,
juice.
Is in the bones and the skin.
Yeah.
And vegetarians, you probably don't want to listen to this, but
bones and skin
in.
Are delicious.
Bones and skin are the
suck
best.
Suck out the marrow. Live your life.
You could, some places you could just get marrow. Chris Winslow took me to a place in Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't find it terribly satisfying, but some people do.
Yeah, I don't either. But it's because I don't like a crostini. I don't
really?
Like a tiny bread.
Yeah.
I'm unmoved by a tiny bread.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think that's part of my problem with marrow is it's already like it's glorified butter.
Yeah.
And you're spreading it on something and it's $15.
I have eaten marrow but mostly here's too much info, just sitting around gnawing bones.
Sure.
It's like the animal that I come from.
Right.
It's half
the joy of ribs.
Yeah. Yeah. You're just cracking and then all of a sudden there's some marrow.
Right.
And you're like, well, I'm eating that. And then and then you keep going. And then hopefully someone loves you anyway.
Best case scenario. what's in this?
Okay, so
Burmese.
It's and the weird thing about it is that it has like the thing. I'll read you what I'm supposed to use, and then I'll tell you what I substituted.
I love it.
Okay, boneless chicken thighs, whole chicken.
Right.
Half a teaspoon of cumin seeds.
Okay.
Half a teaspoon.
You toast those first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I usually toast the full seeds just to sort of release the cumin seeds, black mustard seeds. Could not find black mustard seeds. Found brown mustard seeds.
Huh.
Went with it.
Yeah, I'm only aware of yellow and brown.
Right.
You ever bloom them?
No.
Ooh, that's interesting.
What is that?
Some people call it mustard caviar. You just take whole mustard seeds and you boil like a mix of I can send it to you, but it's like a water and vinegar essentially.
Okay.
And you boil them for a few minutes and then just let it soak overnight and they puff up like like little
like
little
rice
spheres.
Yeah,
yeah, like or like couscous.
Yeah,
and but they're just whole mustard seeds,
and you eat them,
and you it's like a condiment.
Oh.
You use them the way you'd use mustard.
Oh, you sprinkle.
Yeah, but it gives a little texture. They kind of pop in your mouth.
Oh, that's interesting.
They're real interesting.
2 tablespoons of sambal oleg. Sambal oleg is a vinegar hot sauce from Burma.
Huh.
That I looked up, couldn't get delivered quickly enough, used a tablespoon of sriracha and a tablespoon of rice wine vinegar.
Fucking A.
And I was like, close enough for government work.
I've heard the term sambal as like a chili something. But...
And oleg is spelled O-E-L-E-K if I'm saying it wrong. I am sorry to my Burmese listeners.
Does that mean oil? I wonder if that means oil.
I don't know. A tablespoon of dark soy sauce. Didn't have any soy sauce, only had tamari.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
Well, tamari is a gluten-free, it's soy sauce is what it is. It's a soy-based, dark, salty thing.
Yeah.
So it's, as far as I'm concerned, it can be soy sauce.
Well, I'm guessing the Burmese aren't using soy sauce either, so.
There might be something else going on. A teaspoon of fish sauce, which I had, which was amazing. 1/4 teaspoon of sugar. I am with you with sugar, so I just, but I didn't want to not put it in, so I just did a dash.
Okay.
And
a quarter teaspoon's pretty small. That's essentially that's your dash anyway.
That's a dash.
I'd say.
Yeah. 2 tablespoons of canola oil. Didn't have it.
Yeah.
Just used vegetable.
Okay. That's the same thing.
Yeah. 7 small garlic cloves, 1 teaspoon of minced garlic, 1 teaspoon of minced ginger, 2 Thai chilies or jalapenos sliced thinly, 1/4 cup of chopped cilantro. I only have parsley in the yard.
Yeah. Screw cilantro.
And 1/4 cup of chopped mint. I had about a tablespoon of chopped mint available and went with that.
Okay.
And lime wedges for garnish. We have a lemon tree.
Perfect.
So what I did was I did all of that.
Mm-hmm. You rubbed it on a chicken, basically.
And I rubbed it on a chicken.
Yeah.
What they want you to do is they like some of those last ingredients, they want them to go on like they want you to rub it on a on the chicken bits.
Yep.
Cook the chicken bits with most of the beginning stuff.
Sure.
And then add more, like that extra garlic and the ginger and the mint and the cilantro at the end.
Yeah.
To make it pop.
Yeah.
But I just turned it all into a marinade.
Okay.
Overnight.
Yep.
And then I roasted it brick style, you know?
Oh, yeah. So you butterfly
it. Cast ironed. Well, they're pieces. So, I always do pieces because they cook more evenly.
Yeah, definitely.
But, and plus, I don't like carcasses. It's a pain in the neck. I always cut it and then I just save the back and the neck and stuff and for stock. And then I make a lot of stock because I make a lot of chicken.
Yeah, I should make more stock than I do. I have a freezer full of bones.
Right.
All legally acquired.
Sure. Right. And all probably non-human.
Yes.
100%. We're going to go 100%.
But it's a real mishmash. Like I just throw everything, chicken, pork, beef, whatever.
Oh, really?
And I just make stock.
You just make meat stock.
Meat stock.
Interesting.
It's mostly chicken.
Okay.
But there'll be lamb bones in there. I've done specific like lamb stock before.
Right.
And
I like a ham
turkey.
Bone. A ham bone stock is actually quite nice by itself.
That makes sense.
I don't like ham very much.
No, I don't either. I mean, not what we think of as ham in America. It's just like a thing.
If you put a pineapple on it, I'm
going to
lose
yourself.
My mind.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It's not great. People.
That's definitely the maraschino cherries. Mm-mm. Nope.
Yeah, it's
I don't
for
need
others.
Honey on that ham.
Yeah.
No.
It just make me a sandwich.
Yeah.
I don't mind a ham sandwich.
Cold deli ham smoked, preferably. Nice Black Forest.
I like a nice cooked ham with some mayonnaise and some lettuce, maybe some tomato.
Yeah.
It'll be lovely.
No, I've never, even as a kid, like Easter dinner and stuff,
ham
grosses me out.
Yeah, it wasn't for me. There'll be a different day when a ham dork will be on this show, and that'll be for you people, Rangers.
Look, I'll talk about your prosciutto hams all day. I'll talk about
Parma
ham.
Oh, that is – those are quite nice.
That's delicious, but no, not a big spiral cut. First of all, it's not even – it's already cooked. You're buying leftovers, people.
Right. And, you know, at Whole Foods, they will not let you buy less than – it seems to be about 26 pounds worth of ham. I think it was a 13-pound ham. I was like,
no.
Wait, you don't have – I can get a pork roast that's 3.5 pounds.
Sure.
Why can't I get a ham that's 3.5 pounds,
yeah,
which
that's
is
a very
still
good question.
3 pounds more ham than I need?
Right.
And they're like, well, you can't do it. And I was like, all right, well, what if I buy this 13-pound ham and you cut it into five chunks.
Uh-huh.
And then I can freeze four of them, and then we'll have ham for a year.
Sure.
And they go, well, we can't cut it for you because it's prepackaged.
Oh, you're supposed to be cooked. A butcher.
Right. And I'm like, all right, I'm paying extra here to
right.
walk into this building.
Oh, absolutely.
Please let
That's
me.
Insane.
Just help me out.
That's supposed to be the point of going to a butcher counter.
Yeah, yeah. It's because they'll do the fancy.
Yeah,
but
Whole Foods
who
is
knows?
A joke. Was this one of the watered-down 365 Whole Foods?
No. It was
okay.
a full-on full
on Whole Foods.
Yeah, where Charles Fleischer goes.
Oh, well,
yeah,
well.
You don't want to run into him. I love Roger Rabbit, but that guy's a bore.
I believe it.
It's because he's pretty psyched about Roger Rabbit still.
Still?
Yeah. And I'm psyched. You know, I'm not saying that my comedy on the road from 96 wasn't important to me.
Sure.
But I think...
But you're not coasting off of it.
Right.
2017.
Nobody should want to talk about it. And if you could... But if you can find it, I have a standing offer that you get a free Dork Forest hoodie.
Oh, wow.
If you could find it, because I define the word wooden. I had tried my set so many times. I'm talking, by the way, with Brian Cook. It's Bryan.
Yep.
And it's at Brian Cooking
yep.
On all the Insta things. Competitive Erotic Fan Fiction is your podcast.
Yes.
And you do it live. You do
Third
it.
Third Sunday is also with the Virgil in Los Angeles. And then I go on the road a little bit, not as much as I used to with that show. But
yeah. But sometimes. That was, I did it one time in San Francisco, I think.
You definitely
or
did it in Portland.
Portland. It was Portland.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. And do you take it to festivals and stuff?
Yeah, it'll be at, well, this is coming
Moon
out
Tower
in May.
Or Bridgetown?
I'll be at Bridgetown next weekend.
Me too.
So
me
will
too.
You.
So we will see each other
yeah,
there.
Yeah, but I think this will come out after that probably.
Yeah, right? Probably. Yeah.
Too late, guys. You missed it.
Too late. Turns out you can go on the internet and listen to
it. Everyone at Bridgetown already knows about it.
And yeah, and Bridgetown, the room will be full.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
It's it's kind of a I think standard at your Bridgetown.
Yeah, yeah.
At this point,
Portland people love a competitive erotic fan fiction.
Yeah,
and
I feel like you've done it on that festival too, haven't you? We did once at the Hawthorne. You headlined the night before, and then we did fan fiction the next day.
And that was the one I did. I don't think I did it.
Did
at
you not
Bridgetown.
Done it on a Bridgetown?
Maybe it. We're at Moon Tower. This
no,
is a fascinating
I've never done Moon
conversation,
Tower.
You guys. You've
What's
never
up,
done...
Moon Tower? You want to be the only festival that doesn't book competitive erotic fan fiction? If that's your goal, you're doing great.
Keep plugging along. And, yeah, Austin, Texas. I like Austin.
Love Austin. Good chicken in Austin, I bet.
Yeah.
Never eaten it, but I bet there's some.
They do a breakfast taco that's pretty exciting.
They do a breakfast taco.
That's pretty exciting. And you know where I've never been? You were talking about earlier was New Orleans.
You've never been to New Orleans?
No.
Oh,
no.
Jackie, that's crazy.
I know it. And now, since I'm not drinking at this time.
Right.
It seems sad to go to New Orleans.
But the food.
The food's amazing. And Maria's going with a bunch of her lady friends. And I said, you know, I'm a lady. Can I horn in?
And a friend.
And a friend. Can't we? Can I horn in? And she was like, she literally was like, oh my God, yes. Why have I never? And I was like, I have no idea, but I've actually been grateful.
So are you going?
No, I actually am booked already.
No.
So I'm already working the road the week then she's going.
Gotcha.
But going with Maria Bamford and her friends, who are these two ladies who own Society of the Spectacle in Eagle Rock.
What is that?
It's a glasses store.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
On York, I think.
Yes.
And then she has a friend who is a psychiatrist or a psychologist.
Okay.
And then she's got another friend. She's got these friends who like went to Yale and,
what are they getting into?
They're literally going to go on tours. They'll go to, like, tour the plantation.
Ghost tours and, oh, okay.
And the
they got
and possibly
swamp tours. You can see some critters.
Right, right. See an aminal.
Sure.
And I remember there used to be a comic named Halura Lyle. Do you ever see Halura
Hell
Lyle?
Hell of a name, no.
Greatest name in the world. She just told a story. I don't know if it was a bit or a story, but about how her and her family had a family reunion down in New Orleans because she had been, they'd all moved up north, but her family history, they had been slaves in Louisiana.
Okay.
And so they went on a plantation tour to see the plantation where her family had been held.
Wow.
And there was like two white couples on the thing and then her family.
Oof.
And they became
Tense.
More and more just quiet as they got closer. And she said it was kind of the funniest thing
oh my God.
That she's ever experienced.
I'm
and
glad
she was
that
like,
she's
I felt
comic.
Bad for him, but I didn't feel bad for him.
Well,
I was like, you can deal. I know you didn't own slaves, but let's fix this.
Sure.
And
it's still not going to kill you to
yeah,
to kind of look down the barrel of this from a different set of eyes for an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, build a little character. It'll be great.
Oh, that's awesome.
I just leveled up in my racism.
Oh, yeah?
In my fight against racism. I thought I was cured. And then I don't know what Tumblr, like I spun a Tumblr and all of a sudden click. A vault opened, and I realized another level of humanity.
Is this when you pushed a fella?
No.
I
it
think
was
that counts.
That does count. That was when I realized that old people aren't people.
Ageism's the new racism.
Ageism is the new racism. That poor bastard. Except for I was so mad. What an idiot. It was both humiliating and a relief because I was like, oh my God, I've realized something. And I was like, ugh, really? You've lived this long without realizing? And I can't remember what it was.
Oh.
But
I do. That was a real letdown.
It was, yeah. The end of that story kind of blows. But you got anything?
On racism?
Yeah. Or no. Or chickens. We're at like 51 minutes.
We were talking about rubs. I do the other, in New Orleans for that matter, I've only recently kind of gotten into Cajun dry rub.
Oh.
Which
has a does a cayenne.
Yeah, the difference, which was interesting, that it takes so little and but it tastes so different. Like you take basically your barbecue rub, but it's cayenne instead of, you know, Mexican chilies.
Right.
And it's just more green stuff, like thyme and sage and parsley and oregano. And that's all the differences. And there's no like sugar. There's no brown sugar or anything like that. And it's basically the same thing, which is with more of that. And it tastes, then you're like, oh, this is what blackened seasoning tastes like. It's
okay.
Just the same damn thing.
Yeah.
Slight tweak. And it's out of this world. God, it's good. I did a rack of ribs with it a couple of months ago. And a lot of times I just go dirty with ribs. Slap a dry rub on.
Yep.
Grill them. That's it. Like,
that's it.
No smoking. No fucking
and
around.
And if you've picked a pretty good, decent cut of meat,
yeah,
it doesn't really matter. You're just, all you want is the flavor that's going to, what I like is chicken that tastes like chicken.
Sure.
It's, I want it to have good flavor, which is why lime kind of like, it really accentuates it, brings it out.
Right.
But,
whereas I think barbecue sauce just covers it up.
Yeah. It could, you're like, what? Yeah, I could eat a bowl of barbecue sauce sometimes, but that's not what I want.
No, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
Especially like if you're doing, if it's a big cut, like a chicken breast, because then the surface area isn't the whole damn thing, you know, then I can handle barbecue sauce because there's so much meat. But if you're slathering like legs or wings with sauce, it's just all it's going to taste like. There's
it's just
going to
be
there.
Wet. Yeah. Because there's not enough meat there.
Yeah. I'm not into it.
Yeah. The, my favorite chicken wing must be the angel wing, the Thai angel wing.
A fish sauce?
No, it's literally like a fried wing. It's just a deep fried chicken wing, but they stuff it with those cellophane noodles and ground pork or ground chicken.
This is inside the wing?
Inside a wing, and then they bread it and deep fry it.
Oh,
next time you're at a
crazy
Thai restaurant, try an angel wing. They take kind of forever to make.
Okay.
So know in your heart that it's going to be a second.
I've never even heard of stuffing wings with something.
Yeah. And for the longest time, I thought it was only stuffed with chicken.
Okay.
And I was like, this is a chicken stuffed chicken wing. And it's such the greatest idea in the world.
Huh.
But then I saw one that had a sort of a pebbled pork, ground pork.
Okay.
So still amazing. I think the cellophane noodles add like a different texture to it.
Okay.
It's just, and then it comes usually with a dipping sauce that has cucumber and fish sauce and,
that's
and
what
hot
I associate
Thai chilies.
With Thai
wings. It has that Thai chili fish sauce cucumber dip.
Okay.
Which is good, but it doesn't necessarily need it. I mean, it's nice.
The only Thai wings I've had are Pok Pok, which is, you know, it's a famous Portland Thai restaurant.
Okay.
That then expanded into Brooklyn and L.A., but went out of business in L.A.
Okay.
And I think it's overrated garbage. They're really sweet. They're basically like caramelized,
Yeah.
And then there's that fish saucy stuff on the side probably as well. But I'm not.
It's overwhelming.
Into it. Yeah.
It's overwhelming. It's not. It's, I mean, if you like chicken, you like chicken.
Yep.
If you like caramelization,
have a sundae.
Get an onion. have you ever had caramelized onions?
Delicious.
Some people can just eat a pile of those.
Sure.
I like them as an accent on a burger.
Right. Yeah. But they'll overwhelm a burger.
You know
too.
What's interesting? I should have somebody on. There are people who love hamburgers.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't.
I'm
don't.
With them. No.
I like a hamburger, but it's not. It's never my go-to.
I went through a phase where it was my go-to, I think, more in mm-hmm. restaurants. And, you know, it's a lot of bar food, obviously.
Right.
Because most places can do a decent burger.
Yeah.
But honestly, the older I get, the more I like bullshit, thin. I'm not eating at McDonald's, but yeah. like a thin patty or two.
Yeah.
But just seared real hard.
Yep.
American cheese, pickles and onions,
oh, interesting.
Else.
Okay.
And the big fancy burgers, I'm not really into them.
Yeah. If I'm going to do a burger, I like a big fancy burger.
You do?
And I want to lose the bun. I'm just yeah. like, just hook me up with a burger and some veg.
Yeah.
And then, and
so. Call that a hamburger steak. That's what we're working with. That's a Salisbury.
Right.
Salisbury steak.
Maybe that's, I'm going back to the roots. Yeah. A little Salisbury steak.
You could do yourself a favor and get in on the trend before it happens of Salisbury
floor.
Steak. Yeah, well, that could be
I could open up a hot Salisbury.
Ironic Salisbury steak.
Ironic Salisbury steak.
It'll fucking crush in Silver Lake.
Side dish, meatloaf.
Side of meatloaf. Yeah.
Side of meatloaf with your Salisbury steak.
Yeah, you are basically talking meatloaf, too. That's
what Salisbury steak is.
It's all kind of different versions of the same gross
Flappers
thing.
Flappers has a great meatloaf.
Ugh,
you know what they're... You know what they're doing? You know what they're doing with meatloaf? They're cutting up an Italian sausage and
okay.
mixing it in with the beef.
Yeah, it's smart.
And also some onions and tomatoes or whatever
yeah,
happens in
only,
a meatloaf.
It's the only way to do a good meatloaf.
It was amazing because it adds another layer of flavor.
Yeah.
And
there's places that do the bacon wrap, which helps.
Yeah, that'll sometimes help.
But yeah,
it seems like a waste of bacon
mix.
For me. I'm just like, why don't you just give me a side of bacon and then I'll just have that bacon with my meatloaf.
See, I do that with chili. I buy chorizo.
Okay.
And I do about two-thirds beef and a third chorizo.
Do you do the sort of the squeezy chorizo?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because there's also a hard chorizo.
Right. Not like Spanish style chorizo, like Mexican chorizo or Salvadoran.
I love a Portuguese sausage called linguiça.
Oh, yeah.
Like in Maine, you got to have a Portuguese fisherman, right?
Or
they're mostly
more of
down
a Cape
in
Cod thing.
Cape Cod, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had friends that were one family that I knew growing up that were definitely Portuguese descent, but mm-hmm. they were the only ones I know of.
Right. I had never had Portuguese food till I worked in Cape Cod for 3 summers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where? What was your gig there?
You're
a regular Anthony Bourdain.
I'm a regular Anthony Bourdain. I went. I worked at a. In Provincetown, Massachusetts.
Yeah, yeah.
If I was going to be gay, that's where it was going to happen.
That's absolutely.
It's because nobody fucking cared.
I
worked at a foot-long hot dog stand, and this joke never got old. I've told this joke so many times on Dark Forest because of this story. It's a drunk gay guy, put a condiment on that. Huh? Come on.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Well played, Brian Cook.
It crushed every time, though, didn't it?
It's every time.
Yeah.
Every time. So,
yeah.
But the foot-long hot dog stand right next to a bar called the Surf Club on the wharf.
Okay.
And it was a great gig. I mean, it was.
How old were you?
I was 20.
Okay.
21.
Yeah, that's the time to.
That's it. Well, it was I just.
Spend your summers in Provincetown.
Yeah, I think it was the year before I graduated from college,
mm-hmm.
the summer after I graduated from college, and then the summer after that, which I realized would just be alcoholism to keep coming back.
Sure.
Because you can give up.
Right.
That, there is a bar. You
yep.
can make tens of thousands of dollars in 4 months, and then you can just drink all winter and,
and
then
that's
do
what
it
they
again.
Do.
That's what you do. And then you lose your teeth and then you die.
Yeah.
And it holds some allure.
Oh,
to
yeah.
this day.
I have often had the conversation with friends from back east that one of my only real regrets is that growing up, I never got one of those like summer resort jobs.
Oh, like Matt Dillon as a like a like a
what's
caddy?
The reference? Oh, yeah. But like a bar restaurant situation
yeah.
where people live in like stupid dorms, essentially.
Right. Well, we were stacked like cordwood
sure.
in a one-bedroom apartment right on the bay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And everyone just drinks all night and lights beach fires.
Yeah.
And eats clams.
Right. And just gets laid. And,
yeah.
And if you can stay sober long enough to get laid.
Right.
And the hot dog stand was right next to a bar. And the guy who owned the hot dog stand would start drinking at 9.
Sure.
If you cooked, second and third summers I worked there, I cooked.
Oh.
Only so that I could start drinking at noon. And so, because if you worked the window, you couldn't drink.
Oh, okay.
Until like 5 or 6.
That was the rule.
Yeah. He was like, you could have one.
Hold it together.
You keep it together. You're like at 6, then you only have to work for 3 hours in the
sure.
bag. And
that's amazing.
It was, yeah. And the second summer was the summer I graduated from college, and I was going to London for 3 months.
Okay.
And I feel like I just told this story somewhere. Who cares?
Sure.
Fast forward, folks.
Free. It's a free podcast.
I'm right. I'm working the hot dog stand. All of my friends go back to college Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm staying till mid-October. So okay. Another 6 weeks. And so the guy who owns the hot dog stand also owns a pizza place in Truro called Geppetto's.
Okay.
And he's like, I can drive you. So the pizza place, the hot dog stand will be open from 9 to 2 for the 2 or 3 for the whale watching. And then I can drive you to Geppetto's, and one of the other bartender or cooks, he lives back here, so he'll drive you back after the end of the night.
Okay.
So I flip pizzas at Geppetto's.
Uh-huh.
But the drive from P-Town to Truro was about 25 minutes.
Okay.
And Bill's buzz would wear off in between that drive. So he would and he had the dumbest VW Bug, like a 1973 VW Bug.
Okay.
And this was 1989.
Yeah.
And so this is just hunk of junk.
Yeah.
And he was drunk, but he wasn't drunk enough. So we'd get to the pizza place and he's like, and he would sit and have a Manhattan. Because it was strong enough to get him back place.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right.
Wow.
And then so did I.
Yeah.
I would join him in a Manhattan.
Sure.
And then I would make pizzas all night. And this other woman who was like, all these super rich kids worked at this restaurant, like the heirs to the Ocean Spray fortune.
What?
And their parents were like, get a job.
Really?
You piece of shit.
What happened to those kind of rich kids?
Yeah, I think
we
that they're
not those anymore.
I know. There's like 9 of them.
Yeah.
And they I think they're hiding. You remember the Democratic convention when Forbes got up, or Warren Buffett, or somebody who's like truly rich and successful, and said that Donald Trump was bad at his job and he was just a moron?
Yeah.
You're like, hey, can you guys get that guy in order? He's one of yours.
Yeah.
You're supposed to slap that guy down.
Yeah, Bilderberg or something. Don't you guys have a meetup?
Isn't there a way? or are you sitting in like a silk-lined room thinking, well, if the world doesn't end, we'll make $1 trillion while this guy steals $1 million like he's an Austin Powers villain.
A pizza joint was my job in high school.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I got those pizza roots.
Oh, yeah. Did you make pizza?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
You still ever make it?
I do.
Do you have a pizza stone?
Fuck a stone.
You can get a tile from the tile shop.
Yeah, absolutely.
Works the same.
Just as well. I do it straight over hardwood charcoal on the grill.
Okay.
And it's out of this world. It's podcast famous if you are a fan of the Boogie Monster.
Oh, there you go. The Kyle Kinane pod.
Yeah. Dave was over once. Dave Stone, hilarious comic. Big foodie. And he just happened to be walking by when I was parking my car, and I'm like, hey, Dave, I'm making pizza. And so, of course, he
allowed me to follow you.
Yeah, appears on my patio for the night. And, I do it. I have a bread machine that I use for the dough. I don't do the dough by hand.
Okay.
But it's the best. It's so easy. Dump all the ingredients in. Hour and a half later,
I've never been able to work our bread machine.
I've never really used it to make bread, maybe twice. But for dough, it's fantastic.
Yeah, and for some reason, it always ends up being two different. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Because you put all the ingredients in and you turn it on. It's nothing else.
It's supposed to be idiot proof.
Yeah. Turns out I have found a way.
You did it.
Yep.
You beat the system.
We had to give away the bread machine.
Really?
It was driving me nuts. Yeah.
What was it doing?
It was separating.
Were you?
It wasn't making a bread. It didn't.
Okay.
It didn't knead itself into a bread.
And were you doing the liquid and then the dry stuff on top?
Maybe not. Maybe the dry stuff and the liquid on the bottom.
You got to, you have to, because it has to be separate for like the first,
couple
has to
of
mix
minutes.
In slowly. I don't know why. I'm not a baker.
Right.
But it has to be.
But that's what they, like when I make bread.
Yeah.
I know that's what you have to do. So
yep.
I would have assumed I could have used that knowledge.
That might have been your problem.
And gone into the, we just bought a rice maker.
Yeah, fuck those. Do you like it?
It was actually incredibly convenient.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never had good luck with them.
Yeah.
I always wind up with sticky, terrible rice.
This thing, pretty great.
Huh.
Yeah. I tried to make pilaf in it the other day.
Okay.
But I didn't organize it. So it was good, but the pine nuts and the noodles weren't done.
I was going to say, what? That's one of those things like nougat. I don't know what it is.
What makes a pilaf?
Yeah.
Pilaf is, it's essentially rice cooked in chicken broth.
Okay.
Or bagged to chicken.
And it comes around.
And with butter. And so my stepmother, Nancy, would take... spaghetti.
Yeah.
You can take egg noodles. You're supposed to make it with egg noodles and pine nuts.
Okay.
But Nancy would take spaghetti and yeah, break it up into tiny bits it's and then pan weird. Fry it with butter.
Yeah.
To soften it a little bit.
Okay.
Like a slow cook with like.
Oh, so it's still hard spaghetti.
Yeah, you don't have to cook it. You can take hard spaghetti and then slow cook it with like 2 or 3 tablespoons of butter.
Okay.
Like a shitload of butter, which is why peel off is great.
Yeah.
And then you put it in with the rice and the chicken stock,
mm-hmm.
and then you cook that all together, and then it's peel off.
I don't understand why that became a recipe. Like, well, why we're adding noodles to rice.
Well, because it was a way to jazz up. I think, like, pine nuts, that just adds another flavor.
Yeah.
But the noodles, I don't know why.
It's weird.
Yeah.
I was always curious about that. I don't think you might be the only person that's eaten rice pilaf in the last 30 years.
Oh, yeah. I was raised on rice pilaf. Yeah. No potatoes.
Oh, interesting.
Only rice. Yeah.
Yeah. Plenty of potatoes.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can't. I don't know. Rice. I have a complicated relationship with rice.
How so?
Well, pilaf can go fuck itself.
Oh, yeah?
I don't really care about sushi. Burritos, I think, are overrated. I'd rather eat tacos.
Interesting.
Cut out all the filler. Just give me meat on a tortilla.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Fried rice, I'm on board.
Interesting. A Chinese fried rice.
Yeah,
or
I mean,
whatever.
I want some meat in there and some something.
Yeah.
But
I
do it like with leftover, like this I'll make fried rice tomorrow and I'll just
Be Mexican rice that you've...
Yeah,
that
Mexican rice, which I don't
know. You'll add an egg to
it. Is. Exactly. Slap an egg in there and I use like Worcestershire instead of soy sauce.
Okay.
Because I'm just not a big soy sauce fan.
Yeah.
It comes out great.
Yeah.
But other than that, I'm not, I don't know. Some people go crazy for, I like Indian style, like.
The saffron rice?
Yeah, with, what's that called?
Basmati?
But what's the dish?
Oh.
A lot of times it's like chunks of lamb. It's almost like a tagine, like a Moroccan.
Okay.
It's kind of on the edge of being Moroccan because there's fruit in it too.
Okay.
It'd be like raisins instead of apricots.
Okay.
And nuts. I think it's pistachios maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an Indian dish. I can't think of the name of it. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's some good rice.
I love Indian food. And I like a tandoori chicken.
Tandoori chicken, one of the most underrated chickens.
Yeah, because all they're doing is they're cooking at like 800 degrees for a heartbeat.
Super hot clay oven.
Yep.
I don't know why it's red. What the hell do they... Well, it's not always red. I think that's
almost always red, though.
But some places do it... I'd be curious to see if there's any reason for the red. I think maybe it's like in Maine,
mm-hmm.
we've got red hot dogs. It's a very weird regional thing.
That is weird.
And there's no reason for it.
Right.
It's red dye.
Because it's dye.
Someone just did it. I think it was the Jordan's Hot Dog Company just decided to make red.
Red
and they
hot
are
dogs.
Bright red.
Bright red. Like fire engine red?
Fire engine red hot dogs.
Weird.
That's a main thing.
Okay.
It is just red number 5.
Okay.
And I'm curious because I've had tandoori chicken that is just kind of an orangey hue. Like maybe there's some saffron or turmeric or something in it.
Okay.
And then there's the stuff that is red, red.
Yeah.
What the hell would that be?
I don't know what I've thought about it and then I've let it go.
Mm.
So I don't know.
The other weird one is pistachios.
Yeah.
Remember when pistachios used to be red?
Yeah. They dyed them all red for 50 years or something.
Yes. And someone told me that the reason for this is that the dudes they were all from let's go with Afghanistan.
Okay.
Was a big pistachio producer.
Right.
And working conditions, not the best.
Sure.
And the story I was told, I'm sure to this day they have not improved. I was told that the reason they dyed them was because the guys picking them were just doing opium all day to stay alert and pick. And it stained, like when you talk about black tar heroin, how it stains your fingers, sticky ass opium.
Yeah.
And they were picking them all day, so they would stain them. And so instead of, not having a hopped up workforce or figuring out some way to wash them, they just dyed them red.
Oh, wow.
It was just their thing.
Okay.
I don't know if that's true.
Maybe those hot dogs.
When they're out there in the fields picking those
hot dogs.
The hot dog trees.
So it's meth.
Yeah.
It's meth.
It would be, if it was Maine, they'd be hopped up on something called Allen's Coffee Brandy, which is the number one selling alcohol in Maine.
Wow.
Coffee Brandy.
They sound like a classy bunch.
They are a classy bunch.
That is hilarious.
They've since moved on to meth, don't get me wrong, but that is the number one selling liquor in the state of Maine is a brand of coffee brandy that,
that is
poor
craziness.
People drink until it kills them.
Right, right. Well, you got to drink something till it kills you. What? Brian Cook, it has been an hour. It's actually been an hour 10.
Hey, we did it.
We did it. And this, I love chicken, so
likewise.
I totally appreciate you suggesting such
a thing. Yeah, I'm glad this occurred to me. I had topics. I was like, well, I can talk about a band she doesn't care about, but why don't we
come
together?
I might learn. You should have seen the one about Chicago.
Band Chicago?
Yeah, Jimmy Pardo.
I was going to say that had to be Pardo.
It was Pardo. He could name everyone who's ever been in Chicago without looking at a list.
Man.
It was kind of weird.
Oof.
And then I had Jamie Flan was
uh-huh.
talking about the Beatles.
Yeah.
I've had different – oh, Murray Valeriano, U2.
Oof, boy.
And
that sounds –
right.
Wow.
What you guys may not know about Brian Cook is that he also loves to not like things. That's your kind of one of your dorkdoms as well.
This has maybe been the most positive hour of my life.
Well, we're leaving it on that. Rangers, you know what the rules are. Take care of each other out there.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?